And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
It turns the brains into guacamole.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is potpourri. My guests are talking about very interesting topics, no two of which are related. My next guest is an indispensable consultant to some of the biggest brands in the world, and he's also the CEO of Deeper Media, an LA-based firm. He'll teach us how to harness the power of total confidence from his latest book, Today We Are Rich. And if you want to join in the conversation, or if you want to ask a question of my guest, you can always call us at 639-0008. Tim Sanders speaks for the strong business relationships, both internal and external. Get those business relationships right, he says, and you'll grow your business during good times and bad. Tim is the CEO of Deeper Media, which is an LA-based firm that conducts research on business trends, new media, and human behavior. Prior to Deeper Media, Tim was the chief solutions officer at Yahoo, and then later Yahoo's leadership coach. Tim's the author of four different books, Love is a Killer App, How to Win Business and Influence Friends, a New York Times and international bestseller, The Likeability Factor, Saving the World. His newest book is titled Today We Are Rich, Harnessing the Power of Total Confidence. The book updates Napoleon Hill, Dale Carnegie, Dr. Norman Vincent Peale to tackle the new world where social media and transparency presents a unique challenge to our sense of confidence, sanity, and faith. Tim attended Loyal Marymount University. He studied Graduate School of Communications at the University of Arizona. Joining us from Southern California, Tim, how are you today?
You know, I'm doing great, Bill. Great to be with you.
Well, thank you so much for being our guest. I love thought leaders like yourself. Very positive message for all of the readers of your book. And the book is filled with practical wisdom. But I think that where I want to start with this is the touching story behind the book itself. Tell us a bit about your life story and how it led you to write this particular book, and in particular, who's Billy?
Billy is my grandmother. She raised me from the age of five on a farm in rural New Mexico, just on the other side of the West Texas border. Second grade, I'm put into special education. Long story, short result is she realized that I would need confidence when I came out of special education to fit in. She trained me based on a small cadre of authors she grew up on in the 30s. You've mentioned some of them, like Napoleon Hill or Norman Vincent Peale. Her system not only turned my life around then, leading me all the way to senior class president, guy with the hot radio show on in town later as a teenager, her system of confidence helped me as an entrepreneur when I went to work for Mark Cuban back in 1997 with his startup, which became Broadcast.com, when I was a senior leader at Yahoo during the dot-com crash, and even over the last few years, why I wrote the book after the 2008 recession, I realized, Bill, that there's only two reasons in the world we're confident. The
what are
circumstance
those?
In which we live, which comes and goes, or our lifestyle design and how we live, which explains why some people rise up like the phoenix during times like this and others are the fodder.
Very well said, some of the fodder. Well, for those of us who feel like we are the fodder, that we're being led around by the circumstances in which we find ourselves at this particular moment, your book has basically seven wisdoms from your grandmother, Billy, that you learn and that you share with people. It's good stuff. So let's just start with where your grandmother, Billy, started you, and that is feed your mind with good stuff. So talk to me about that.
First rule, feed your mind good stuff. You should be as judicious about what you put into your head as what you put into your mouth. Think about it as a business person. If all you do is watch natural disaster coverage, listen to political pundits, read horrible news, watch cable television, economic forecasting, you will be gloom and doom. You will be chicken little. You will freeze, wondering for the next few years if the recession's over. That's what I've seen happen over and over again. But if you decide that most of this stuff is garbage and you will only put into your head high-quality information with an editorial intent to inform you, and you create mastermind groups instead of multimedia experiences in your life, you'll think positive while others think negative. You'll be the first to come back. And that's where all the opportunity lies for everyone.
Oh, it does, Tim. But let me stop you right there, hit the pause button, and ask you a deeper question if I can. And that is, everything on the news is designed to inform us. I mean, it's all news at some level.
Oh, come on, dude. It's not. The news model is designed to drive listenership, viewership, to create conversions, to take care of merchant partners. And to do that, you've got to be sticky. So think about broadcast TV. Ted Koppel talks about the ladle dropper effect. A good feature has got to be so shocking, Mom drops the ladle in the soup to run into the living room and find out the story. You talk to some of these political pundits on either side of the coin, and you talk to them in their personal life, they're laughing at their listeners and viewers.
Well, I don't know about
better. I don't mean that all radio is like that. I think there's a lot of high-quality radio, and I really like Dave Ramsey, for example. I love his show. I think it's very helpful to people. But I just think that from a standpoint of how and why we do things, we operate a lot less like Wall Street Journal and NPR and a lot more like CNBC and Huffington Post. That's all I'm saying. And the average consumer isn't differentiating those. And I'm just saying differentiate. There's some that are better than others. Don't put the ones into your head that are designed to scare you.
Fair enough. My guest is Tim Sanders, author of the book Today We Are Rich, Harness the Power of Total Confidence. You mentioned Dave Ramsey. I know you think highly of him. Likewise, he thinks very highly of you, so that's a two-way street.
Yeah.
The tool that I took out of this segment of your book that was so fascinating to me, and it's something that I could put right to work, is the idea, the value behind a mind food journal. Talk to me about that.
So think about it. If you were going to lose weight, the first thing they do is have you write down everything you eat. Boy, that's an eye-opener. Well, what I do now is I have a mind diet. And I look at all the stuff I put into my head. I read it. I listen to it. I watch it. I hang out and talk to those people. And I code things as being either positive, gives me optimism and confidence, neutral, just information, or negative, makes me actually feel bad. And over the course of time, I've rooted all the negative out. And it's a real helpful tool to do that. And along the way, you're also able to ask yourself, is half or more of everything I put into my mind good books that talk about how I can be better at my job? Because that's also important, is to get the mix right. It's not that we should be an ostrich. It's that we should not feast on fast food media our whole lives. We should read business books, tech books, future books, half of our consumption life.
For how long do you have to keep the journal? Because I think it's a great idea. Most people on a diet, they tell you to keep it for a month, really to get a pattern going.
Depends on how aggressive you are about the program. I've counseled a lot, coached a lot of people, 30 to 90 days. Your behavior changes almost immediately because you begin to realize, my gosh, the majority of what I'm consuming, I've got to stop. I had a buddy who couldn't help but watch 5 hours of political stuff. I mean, he didn't know it was five. He didn't realize how bad it made him, how mad it made him feel. So it was a real, in a week he began to cut back. But let's say 30 days.
Well, all right. Well, that tip alone makes buying the book Today We Are Rich the best investment that you can make. But let's go on, because you've got six other things that I want to cover as best we can. You also say the second step is move the conversation forward, very similar to what you just said in your last answer. You want to communicate positivity and confidence. Talk to me about that.
Napoleon Bonaparte said the leader's role is to define reality, then give hope. So it's a balancing act, and the conversation tends to get stuck when we talk about how we're hanging in there, just trying to get by, talk about how bad things are or what we lack. As leaders, we've got to talk about what's going right. We've got to focus the conversation on solutions and not excuses or problems, because inside any organization, Bill, culture is a conversation. The stuff we talk about creates reality, so what are we talking about? And by the way, Chicken Little must fry. We got to stop rewarding the naysayers at work that are trying to add value by talking about what's going wrong or how bad things are.
I love that. Chicken Little must fry. See, those are the types of little witticisms that you inject into the book that make it so much fun. I wrote down Chicken Little must fry. But speaking of those witticisms, so talk to me about the negative people. Why is sharing worry like sharing a cold? That one I took away as well.
Worry's infectious. If you hang around with someone who's worried about the stock market, worried about your industry, worried about your neighborhood, you will catch this from them. Napoleon Hill wrote that the fear of poverty is a highly contagious disease, especially amongst high-functioning people. So I do. I react to negative people. I trim them out. I unfriend them. I unfollow them. And as a hiring person, I don't hire depressed people, ever.
Okay, I think that is good advice. Now, the third principle in your book is exercise your gratitude muscle, and you sound like a very grateful person, so talk to me about that.
10 minutes a day. First thing I do, instead of going online and checking my email, I think of two people that helped me yesterday at work, and why? Because it helps me understand I'm not alone. And I think of one person today who's going to be a big booster to me, and I think about how I can help her even help me more. And that's how I start my day. Because I was raised to believe that gratitude is a muscle, not a feeling. If it was a feeling, you'd feel it all the time. Think about how grateful a person is when they get an opportunity. Now, listen to you. You still sound very grateful for your show.
I am.
I do a lot of work with a lot of radio personalities. The attitude they have when they first get on the air versus 2 years later can sometimes be remarkably different, and it's a function of whether or not they're making their radio show a get-to and not a have-to in their life.
And that's the real mindset change right there. So let's drill down on that.
It's expansive. You can't be hateful when you're grateful. It'll fill your head like worry.
Exactly. And just changing two words in your vocabulary, changing the words I have to do this to I get to do this.
That's right.
It's amazing how that can elevate you. And that again, is brilliant.
All
right. So this is one that I looked at when I first saw it, and it was a head scratcher for me. So I'd like you to clarify this. Give to be rich.
So rich means you're full. Rich means there's enough to go around. That really comes from a word that means full. That's where the word rich comes from. It doesn't mean you have a lot of money. It means you've got enough to share. And sometimes, in some situations, you got to fake it till you make it, in very rare situations, too, by the way. This is one of them. If you think you are short on time, then I challenge you to invest 2 hours, give to be rich, be a mentor for somebody else worse off than you, and you'll realize you've still got enough time. It was all in your head. You're a poor time manager. You need to stop saying yes to these silly phone calls and long projects. Stanley Marcus Jr. taught me, when he was my mentor, that we don't need time management tips and techniques. We need the fundamental respect of time. And you respect it the most when you give it and change somebody's life. Or as the French philosopher Gide says, that which we cannot release possesses us. So I encourage people to use giving as a solution to fear and worry and anxiety.
I think that is good advice. My guest is Tim Sanders, author of the book, Today We Are Rich, Harness the Power of Total Confidence. Tim, now you've got some great wisdom from your grandmother in this book, but I want to ask you, here in the digital age, your seven wisdoms, how are they amplified in the digital age?
Well, feeding your mind good stuff is really important. In the digital age, there's so much more technology that can distract you. There's so many more interesting ways that people's attitudes and beliefs can sneak into your consciousness. But more importantly, there's ways you can move the conversation forward. Like if you look at my Twitter stream, on Twitter I'm Sanders Says, or you read my blog, I'm SandersSays.com, you'll see that I'm constantly trying to feed positive things into other people's heads. And they respond by either confirming, validating, sometimes challenging, or adding to the conversation. If you looked at the stream of discussion across my Twitter feed or my blog or my Facebook feed, it's inspiring, it's positive, not just to them, those thousands of people, but to me, because that's what I was raised to believe. It's a good loop. You create your own positive feedback.
I like it. A positive feedback loop is something that we all need. My guest is Tim Sanders. Tim, differentiate, if you will, from two concepts in your book. Differentiate between purpose and passion in both life and work, because I think that's an important distinction.
Yes. Your passion is what you want to do. When you are doing your passion, you feel happy, time flies, it's about you. Your purpose is where you make a difference to others. It's usually one of service. It's something that you do for the sake of significance because of this yearning to be part of something bigger than yourself. And as you become an adult and you start to take on accountability, responsibility in your life, you have to make a decision. What is true north? What do you follow? What do you ask other people to make sacrifices for? You or others? So I think it's important as we grow up to explore our passions. As we become adults, leverage our passions towards our purpose, or even reward ourselves with our passion, like I do music. But follow a purpose, something greater than yourself. Commit yourself to a mission that's worthy, and you'll never lack confidence, and criticism will never be personal, and you'll find unlimited energy.
I think that's good advice, and I'm going to ask you to turn your thoughts inward for me for just a minute and explain how you take your passion, and you mentioned the passion is music, and how you use that towards your greater purpose.
So I leverage everything I learned about playing music towards what I do on the lecture circuit. So it affects how I perform as a speaker. It affects how I think about my notes even. I get this, Bill. I have set sheets on the floor at my big convention gigs, just like a band has set sheets with their songs. And a big magic marker, it's got the names of the different stories I'm going to tell. I've utilized as best I can the things I've learned as a musician to be a better speaker, but I haven't encroached upon it. In other words, I've never whooped out a guitar and played a song at the IBM sales conference, right? Because that's when the passion will begin to get in the way of the purpose. Because as a speaker, my purpose is to move people to develop relationships and be generous. That's my goal. And if I use my music, they'd scratch their head and go, wait a minute, I thought this was a business convention. So I have to learn there's a division line, and I can't play with it over the line. And I really relegate that passion to take a backseat to that purpose. But I'm quickly finding that I have a real passion for what I'm doing on stage or on the radio.
There you go, and that clarifies it for my listeners. Thanks very much.
Just like a mom develops a passion for being a mom.
Sure. All right. My guest is Tim Sanders. Now, Tim, you've written three other books, but I want you to look back and reflect on the three books. And in what ways is Today We Are Rich the prequel to the three other books that you've written?
The three other books are all about giving, about how when you promote other people's success, whether it's as an individual or as a company, they reciprocate. They give back. They make you successful. Just believe that people are good. That's my point of view. People are good. They give back more often than not. This is the prequel, because what I understood is that, yes, generosity works, and generosity is rewarded. But what I've learned in 2008 is that we're only generous when we're confident. Dr. Stephen Covey Sr. said the abundance mentality emanates from a sense of self-worth and a deep confidence that there's enough to share. I learned that if you don't have a plan for confidence based on lifestyle design, you won't be truly generous, and you won't be successful. So I learned that confidence is rocket fuel, and too many people in this world depend on being in the right place at the right time to having mojo. Mm. That's why I wrote this new book. And I also wanted to be more confessional, that I learned everything from my grandmother and not just from Jim Collins or Tom Peters.
All right. You spilled the beans in the book. My guest is Tim Sanders. Tim, what do you want people to take away from reading your book, Today We Are Rich?
There's enough to go around, and only in the moment when you share are you worth anything. But you must think positive, and you must invest time in thinking positive like you try to invest time being physically fit or popular. Bill, I would offer all the listeners the first chapter of this book, Feed Your Mind Good Stuff, all 35 pages, free. You can download it at twar.com.
TWAR, the first initials of TodayWeAreRich.com. That is a very generous offer, Tim. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. My guest has been Tim Sanders, author of the book, Today We Are Rich, Harness the Power of Total Confidence. Tim, we'll talk to you down the road.
All right, big
thanks so much.
See you later.
Yeah, talk to you later.